Hello, Randy. What's your praise?
My daughter last weekend moved to Alaska. And I think she's happy up there. And if she's happy, I'm happy.
Well, amen.
For some reason, she thinks Alaskaners calling. And I said, honey, maybe that's what it is. You need to go.
Well, yeah.
Now, I'm not real happy about it, but if she's happy, I'm good.
I hear that. Yeah. Amen. Plus, it's a great place to visit. And you won't have to have a hotel, maybe.
I do want to go catch a halibut. That's
yeah.
Just,
mm-hmm.
I like to call them flounder, but everybody's just halibut.
No, they're halibut. Believe me, those and these, they're cousins, but they're distant cousins.
Yeah, one's like great.
One is like, yeah, nice little fellow. The other one is like.
Yeah, I just can't imagine.
You'd think that the Texas-sized flounder are in Alaska. Put it that way. All right, who else has a praise? Gilbert does. What is it?
I'm here, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Safe driving back and forth.
Yeah.
About 100 miles every day.
So. Yeah. I got a praise to share. I got to watch two more people trust the Lord in Bible classes this week.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And that was pretty exciting. Of course, it always is, you know. I've gotten to have the privilege of seeing that many times. And it's never ceases to be anything short of wonderful. Anybody else have a praise?
I just want to thank praise and thank God that I'm alive and well and everything's going good.
Amen. Amen.
Got here on time today.
You did, actually. You actually did. Hey, that's cool. Yes, Sean.
Mommy and Tom safe, Leslie.
Yeah. That's good. Still got a place to camp and.
Yes.
Are you getting your house ready to move into?
We got that all figured out, too. That was a disturbing phone call I got.
Oh, was it? All right. That's good. Hello, Bubba.
How are you?
Morning. You got a praise this morning? Well, I'm praising the Lord that the holidays will be over pretty soon. The older I get, though, it all seems to run together. I mean, we just finished one, and we're starting another one, and it's like there wasn't a break in between. Who else has a praise? Leslie.
I'm glad to be in church. I need church today.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Who else?
Oh, I had a nephew graduated from the University of Houston yesterday in the hotel restaurant management deal.
No, good deal. That's pretty neat. A graduation. Karen?
My praise was to be able to hear Thursday and be on the float. And it was just wonderful. And all the kids were well behaved. But the driver every once in a while tended to hit the brakes a little bit hard.
Yeah, well, yeah. Can't have everything.
Because he was texting and driving.
That was Caleb doing that. He's not very experienced at driving yet. He was helping, though.
Driving?
I was. Yeah, Johnny?
I got one more. Just on the holidays and all that, this is actually my first holidays back home in 5 years, so I'm...
Yeah. Amen.
You better behave yourself.
We want to embrace that.
Yeah. Well... Sometimes sons go away and come back dragging back in like the prodigal. And sometimes they come walking back in with their head high, having met Jesus. So this is going to be one of those second ones, one of those latter experiences. Sean?
The praise is that Brenda, y'all remember Brenda?
Yes.
She was down here. She's actually very glad that Harvey destroyed my house. Because she has never seen her boys want to come and talk to Dad about the Bible so much. Praising the Lord for that.
Amen. I've been telling you. I told you from the first day that Harvey was a blessing.
Yep.
And that's not just because I'm in a remodeling business. But there's that. You understand? But that's not the main reason. It's like I told you the first day. There are people calling on the Lord that haven't mentioned His name in years, and they're all over the place. And it's not just because they're going through a trouble or whatever. It's because they're seeing things that are just, it's shocking and it's amazing and it's powerful at the same time. It's just, none of us have ever seen what we saw in Harvey. You've never driven down a street in a town and seen everything that's in those houses piled in one great pile out in front. It is a sad-looking story when you see that. Yeah, we saw a lot of it. We made a bunch of those piles. There was a lot of stuff in them. And of course, this was a great chance for people to purge, you know, get rid of all your junk.
Oh, yeah.
Purge. And an excuse to go buy more, of course.
That's working.
What's your praise, Vicki?
You know, God is just richly blessing me, and, you know, and left and right. You know, my kids, my grandkids, my son's out, and he seems to be doing well. One improvement, and I know it kind of sounds crazy, but he's always had this 10 feet tall and bulletproof attitude.
Yeah.
That he could do anything and he was never going to get caught. And one of the things that he always did and it drove me crazy was he would take sunglasses from Walmart. And I hate to admit that, but he would never pay for them, but he'd always walk out with a new pair. And then he showed me a new pair of sunglasses that he got. And I said, did you get those from Walmart? Very sarcastically. He said, no, Mom. He goes, I'm not doing that anymore. It's not worth going to prison over. So the attitude is changing.
Amen. That's good. Lesson learned.
A friend of mine that I happen to work for told me this, which applies to, I think, the Harvey thing, which is if you change the things that you, the way that you look at things, the things that you look at. I think that's a problem for a lot of people. He changed the way that they looked at things, and now the things that they're looking at are changing.
Well, either that or they sure look different. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Francis.
My son-in-law is safely in the air. On his way coming to joy.
Yeah? He's coming.
The baby. Yeah.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Yes, yes.
Tracy, what's your praise?
Oh, praise. Kyra made it through her first semester at college.
Yay. Oh, my.
She passed all her classes yet or not, but she did.
Well, that's good. She's a sweet girl. Another praise is that we built the shower and set up for volunteers to come and work and two or three guys came for 2 days, and that's been it. Of course, Pastor Steve and his boys come to work on the Baumgartner's house. But do you remember Ed Bakke? Some of you do. The nail guy. Come on, you don't remember the nail guy. Cecil does. He was with a crew from Missouri that came down and helped us frame out the inside of this church building when we were building it. Volunteer workers. They drive all over the country to help build churches.
You can talk about the guy that you tell the story of that put the nail through his hand.
That's the guy. Well, Ed called me from Missouri. We want to need to pray for him, too, because he's fighting prostate cancer right now. Son Jeff is following in his daddy's footsteps as far as handyman to go out and help the churches put them together. And on the 27th, he and about somewhere between 6 and 10 fairly skilled guys, I've already spoken with a couple of them, will be here ready to work for at least 4 days and knock out as much as we can for our families that still have, that have no flood insurance. And those two specifically would be the Taglers and Nona Trussell. And so we're going to knock out a pretty hefty amount of work in those two houses.
Amen.
And so any help you can give and support, we're going to feed these guys. Ladies, so we're going to be calling on you to help with that. Talking about starting early and working late and not taking much time for lunch. They want to get as much accomplished as they possibly can in the short time they've got. So between Christmas and New Year's, they're here to work. And we're going to get to see a real blessing for a couple of our families. And I think they'll probably bless the rest of us in a lot of ways, too.
You just lost my volunteer with no lunch.
No, well, they say they just weren't going to go out. They were just going to take your lunch and just eat on the job, get right back to work. So, I may just assign you the task of making sure they get lunch. Because I know if there's anybody that knows how to make sure he gets to eat, it's John. See, he's kind of expertly qualified in that field. So.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been told a lot of times, you better bring your lunch.
I say something else I'm qualified in, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
You better bring your lunch.
He's an excellent he's an excellent greeter as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for your good praise.
He'll have most of them straightened up by the time they get into the auditorium. So. All right, who else has a praise?
I was just wondering, how's our the pastor that has cancer that was at the church camp with us?
Larry is going through the experimental treatments, and he's feeling good. I talked to him about a week ago. And he's feeling good. He doesn't know what the results are yet because it's no way to really tell, but he's feeling good, and he's not experiencing any pain, and that's part of what he was going through. Yeah, so that's probably a really good sign as to what's happening.
Yeah, Cancer Center of America have recently started doing that. It's pretty cool.
So he's getting after it. All right, Exodus, and we are going to be in chapter 16 today. Now, there is one little thing that I did not get to last week about the land of Marah. When they came to Marah, verse 23, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What should we drink?" These Israelites that had been in Egypt for all these generations, the people gripe and complain and grumble, and then Moses calls on the Lord. That's just so sad. They had not learned somehow yet that they need to be calling on the Lord instead of grumbling. Do you grumble first or pray first?
Grumble first.
I guess we haven't learned it either. It's better to pray first and grumble later, or not grumble at all. Amen? I mean, it's, you know, when trials come, none of the trials that you're going through catch the Lord by surprise. And the fact is, that in a lot of cases, he sent them on purpose. God would do that to me? Yeah, he would. He loves you enough to teach you things that you've got to know. And sometimes the only way we can learn the things that we've got to know is through trials. There's a kind of a parallel here in this, and I mentioned it at the end of the service last week, but I wanted to just mention it again this morning because I didn't get to it. The Lord told Moses, he showed him a tree, and of course we talked about that tree and what kind it probably was and so on and so forth last week, and there really is a tree that purifies water when you put the seeds of that tree into the water. And it's used today all over the world.
Yeah, I found out about it when I got back home. I've been hearing my wife mentioning moringa.
Moringa, yeah. Moringa tree.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, back home.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I told her about it. Yeah, oh, they've been using it in Africa for ages.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ages. Yeah. I just didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah,
you know, and she always tried to force me to eat out of it. I said no.
I just couldn't help but think back to what my life was like before I discovered the tree. It was bitter, and God showed me a tree, and it cured the bitterness. It just there's just the sweetest parallel right there, and I just couldn't help but bring that out. And, you know, I don't know that the Lord put it in there just so to remind us of that. But I will tell you that that tree on which my Savior was nailed sure made a difference in the bitterness of my life.
Amen.
He sweetened me up considerable.
Yeah. Work to be done yet.
Still a work in progress, you understand.
The seeds of that tree, when you eat them, like anything that you eat or drink afterwards tastes sweet, even if it's just water.
I got to get some of those, man. That's,
what kind of tree is it?
Moringa something, something. I left the sheet on it here. It's, I don't know, might have got thrown away by now. When the Lord adds the cross to your life, a lot of things change, and they change. The bitterness, and specifically the bitterness. You know, when you make peace with God, all that bitterness is gone. It just leaves. You can forgive others. You can accept forgiveness. It just changes things. Just does. We're going to talk about little round things this morning. If I ask the kids, what in the Bible is described as a little round thing?
Yeah, the coriander.
Do you know?
They'd have to look at the
Come on now, don't you hush. Do you know what the Bible describes as a little round thing? It calls it a little round thing, just that. Come on, Mary. Don't tell them. Don't tell them.
Mustard seed?
No.
A 50-cent piece?
No.
Like a fishing blade.
Come on.
No.
The wrong thing.
Oh, come on, guys. Come on. All right. Hey, don't tell them. We'll just have to get to it. We'll just get to it. All right. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin. And by the way, the wilderness of Sin was just that was the name of a town in Egypt. It has no relation to Sin. It doesn't. It just happens to be what it's called.
Yeah, there were 12 wells in Elim.
Yeah, which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt. And here we go again.
And the whole congregation of the children
murmured
against Moses
and Aaron in the wilderness. And Moses is going to tell them what they're really murmuring about and who they're blaming, okay? And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord, you know. I'll tell you.
Moses will say the same thing.
Yeah. I'm saying, there's the door, there's the road back. Don't let the critters eat you on the way. But Moses was a good pastor, and so he was gentle with them. They saying, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the, you know, but now they're saying died by the hand of the Lord. That's a little different twist. They're really kind of getting the blame on the Lord put into their language here. When we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Well, I will tell you this, that wilderness that they were in, it does not look like there could possibly be anything to eat in that whole area. I don't know where the animals find anything to eat over there. I guess they eat rocks because that's all you can see. Well, you've been there and, you know, you think a wilderness is a forest and you get lost in the trees and that's not a wilderness. A wilderness is mountains and desert all smushed up together with nothing anywhere except rocks and sand and heat and few scorpions, you know, that sort of thing. Everything there stinks, sticks, or bites, pretty much. And that's where they were. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now, did God not know whether they would walk in his law?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, of course he did. Who didn't know?
They didn't,
and Moses didn't. They thought they would because they left Egypt. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses said, and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then you shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings. That word murmurings is grumbling. I mean, that's exactly what it means. You think of murmuring, you think of, well, yeah, you know, you kind of, but they're grumbling. They're not being quiet about it. Okay, and so the Lord hears your murmurings, your grumbling against the Lord. What are we that you murmur against us? See, they're blaming Moses and Aaron for this. You know, kind of like people blame the pastor for things sometimes. You know, that's happened before, but not in this church, of course. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. I want to stop there for just a minute. Everybody grumbles.
Yep.
That's kind of sad for a Christian to have to admit that. But we grumble. I try not to do it for very long. I usually catch myself pretty quick. Yeah. And But when we do, when we grumble, if something didn't go right, you know, all right, you got all the paperwork filled out and you turned everything in, and then you get a letter in 2 weeks saying you missed a form that you're supposed to fill out. So you got to go through the whole thing again, you know, because of one little something that you didn't even know about. And so what are you doing? You're grumbling. It doesn't matter if it's taxes or if it's a flood claim or if it's a, you know, something that you, just something you had to do.
Especially.
Yeah. Especially if it's taxes. Yeah. And you're grumbling. But I think what the most of us don't tend to realize is that we're not just grumbling at the air, okay, or at the Internal Revenue Service or at the insurance company or at the whatever. Who are we grumbling against?
God.
Yeah, he's the one who says, I'm in charge and I'm in control, and he's the one who's handed down the decision on what you did or did not. He could have reminded you to get that other piece or showed it to you, or, you know, you're late for work because you got a phone call and you couldn't get off the phone in time to leave, or you got halfway to somewhere and you realize you left your phone or some other important something you had to have and you had to go back and get it. So what are you doing? You're grumbling. Are you grumbling at yourself? Are you grumbling at, who are you grumbling at? Who are you complaining about?
That's a good question.
The Lord was the one in charge of all of that. You know, and I've been in a few situations to where that if I had left 5 seconds earlier, I'd have probably died. I mean, I've been in close calls and situations that were so close. I mean, just missed it by a hair's breadth. And then I realized that, you know, when all of those things happen, there's somebody that knows the reason. There's somebody that's in control of all of those things. And we don't tend to remember that God really is in control of the details. Oh, he's in control of the universe, the big stuff, you know. He's just left us to our own devices with the details. No, he hasn't. He controls all of that. And I can't tell you that I've learned not to grumble, but I can tell you that I'm learning not to grumble. And the lessons on grumbling, I do have to retake sometimes, several times. And I certainly haven't passed all the courses on no grumbling, but I have learned that when I'm grumbling, it's a shame because I'm really grumbling against the Lord when I do. How many times did he remind you not to forget that piece of paper or that cell phone?
You forgot it.
And how many times did he step in and help you with all those things? But he didn't this time. And there's not a reason that he, you know, for that? Of course there is. There's a reason. And I'm not smart enough to know what they are, nor pretend to be. But I am learning to be smart enough to trust the Lord that he knows. And that he does all of the things that he does in my best interest. Do you realize that if you're a child of God, that everything that God does that affects your life in any way whatsoever is in your best interest? Even life and death. We lose loved ones and we think, how could this be good? How could this be in the best? Well, God knows. He knows what's coming. He knows what you don't know. And he makes decisions on what's best for you in the long term.
You get an eyeball on you.
But anyway, hey, there he is. Hi, buddy. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we haven't had our bonding time this morning, have we? Look at laughing now. Wow. Yeah, I see that grin.
I can see him smiling with his eyes.
Yeah, well, he's smiling with more than that. You know it's going to be hard to leave you down there while I do this, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that little punk. He's just grinning at me, getting all my attention all off the lesson. He is a. This little guy is a gift to the Lord, or from the Lord to all of us, but I think especially to me. He is just. I haven't had a new grandbaby I could wrestle for a while, and boy, he sure has become one for sure. Randy, go ahead.
It's amazing what the Lord has done for us since we've been saved, but I'm even more amazed sometimes how he took care of me before I got saved.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't a good person. Yeah. I'm still not, don't get me wrong, but the things I did in my life, it's just it's amazing. I shouldn't be here. Really, I shouldn't. Yeah. But he took care of me. And he put up with me until I was saved.
Yeah, and still does.
Yes, exactly.
And still does. We have nothing to murmur about. We really don't. I mean, they didn't either. They were refusing to trust the Lord. And you know, that's another thing that we don't realize that we are doing when we're grumbling. We're refusing to trust the Lord. That can't be good on many levels. Gilbert, go ahead.
Yeah, just to add to what you're saying, Psalm 78, starting verse 12, tailors all these details that you're speaking about them not appreciating God. It tells them, it speaks about opening the sea where the water stood up, and the daylight time and the nighttime protection. And he goes on, and they did not believe in God. And he rained manna on them to eat, and then gave them basically the bread. Men ate the angels' food. He sent them in full. And the wrath of God came up against them in spite of all these matters, and he slew them. Psalm number 78, starting verse 12, all the way to 36.
Read it.
Barbarous things he did in the sight of in their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made the water stand up like the heat. In the daytime he also led them with the cloud, and in the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks of the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought the streams out of the rocks and caused water to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him, by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they detested God in their hearts by asking for food for their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" Before he struck the rock, so his waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give us bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came upon against Israel, because they did not believe in God, and they did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the clouds over to open the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna to them to eat, and gave them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused the east wind to blow the heavens, and his power brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them, like the dust, feathered fowl, like the sand of the sea, and he also let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwelling, so that they eat and were well filled, for gave them their own desire. They are not deprived of the cravings, but while their food was still in their mouth, the wrath of God against them, and he slew the stout of them, and he struck down the choicest of men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in the wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed their futility here when he slew them, and they sought him, and they did return and sought earnestly to God. Then they remembered that God was their rock, and that the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Asaph and his sons and David, all of David's instruments and everything playing that? and everybody's singing. Wow.
Yeah, that was a sad song.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. Y'all like quail? Mm-hmm. Quail's not just food. It's good food. The quails came up. By the way, when I was in Israel, I saw those quails. We were out there in the hills near Galilee, in Galilee, but near the lake, Sea of Galilee. And I saw several coveys of those quails running around. You can't hunt over there, so they're just free as a bird, you know. Well, these quails are like king-size bobwhites. They're big, fat ones. I mean, they're, you know, I'm thinking, boy, oh boy, I'd like to fry up some of those guys. Anyway, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a what? A small round thing. There it is. As small as the hoar frost or the gray frost on the ground. And when that's little. It's little bitty tiny round things. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. And manna means, what is it? It is, what is it? And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Must have been a lot of it. Must have been pretty thick. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, or measure it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Now that was interesting, because some gathered a lot, some gathered little, and then when they got back to camp and measured it, everyone had just enough for that person. That's kind of, what does that tell you about the Lord's nature and character?
It tells you the less people you have in your family, the more energy you have.
He's in the detail.
The Lord doesn't like wastage.
Well, there wasn't any wasted. But these folks were not being dealt with the way that God says he deals with those who are walking with it. These folks had just exactly enough and no more.
So their cup didn't run it over?
Their cup got level to take care of them, but that was it. Because they weren't trusting the Lord. Now, God still said he did what he said he would do, but he didn't do any more. Now, it's been my experience that all those verses where God says he'll pour out a blessing, there won't be room to receive it, where he says, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart, and he talks about abundance, and he talks about pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and all those promises, I found those to be exactly the way God said. And amazed me as to how much he does that. But here in this case, it gave him exactly enough, precisely. I mean, that's wonderful, but that's not the way God wants to do it. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. And, of course, they wouldn't listen. I mean, they're going to test him no matter what he says.
Yep.
Pastors feel like that sometimes.
they're going to
argue with you no matter what you say.
Nevertheless, that's notwithstanding, nevertheless.
They hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them.
Yeah.
And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. This is like automatic cleanup that comes with this provision here. It's automatically takes care of whatever's left over, and kind of a, you know, Psalms makes an interesting observation that we don't get over here reading Exodus. What is this manna? It's, their name for it is, what is it? Because we don't know what it is. But God tells us, he told us in the Psalms what it was, what it is. What's he say? No, it's not coriander. He said it's like a coriander. Small round thing like a coriander is a small round thing.
It's angel's food.
It's angel's food.
Yeah, it's more
from. So it's cake, right? It's angel food cake?
There you go. Yeah.
That's what angel food cake is, food made with cake made with manna, maybe. I, you know, but it's angel food.
It's those little round cakes like you get at Kroger.
Like those little Debbie's that's got the, no. Well, it tastes like that. He said it tastes like wafers made with honey. They gathered every morning. What was left, the sun melted. It came to pass on the sixth day. They're going to have to disobey this again. So on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, rulers. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe.
That's pretty cool.
And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So they boiled up some quail, and I think they should have barbecued it. But anyway, they may have baked it. That sounds pretty good. And they cooked it in the pots, and they were used to making meat in a pot, flesh pots they called them. And so they made up, and then on that day they laid it up to keep, and it didn't spoil. Imagine that. Imagine things turning out just like God said they would. Wow. What a surprise. And they laid it up to the morning, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none.
Boy.
And it came to pass, here we go again, that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for together, and they found none. And what do you suppose they did when they went out there and didn't find any?
They grumbled.
No, I'll tell you, what happened to my bread? There's no bread this morning. Oh, yeah, you know. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? Now, wait a minute. Now, Moses wasn't doing that, was he?
No, he got laid on his head because he didn't stop it. You've got to get message across there, Pastor.
There is a lesson in leadership here.
Yep.
I was just thinking that.
It's not just pastors. It works everywhere. There are pastors that don't get paid much, and they don't. Well, you know how much a pastor gets paid? He gets paid exactly how he teaches the people to pay their pastor. That's what he gets paid. I don't care who he is or what church he's in. That's what he gets paid. Because he's the one that's responsible to teach the church. The funds of the church, the ability of the church to be provided for, to provide for itself, it's all based on the teaching that comes down from the leadership. The buck stops at the pastor's desk. Pastor Moses here was finding this out, wasn't he? And it was the Lord telling him this. I don't think he probably believed that he was responsible for any of that. But the Lord right here is holding Moses responsible for their disobedience. The Bible says that you are to follow those that have the rule, meaning leadership, over you, for they give account for you. That's enough to make you quit the business.
Yeah.
You need to maybe love me just a little bit extra because I have to give an account just not just for me, but for you.
So where is the glory?
Oh, man. I'm going to be depressed for the whole rest of the day now. Gilbert, go ahead.
Just a comment. You know, you have all this population which is deemed between 500,000 to over 1,000,000 people, and one leader, and you know, just sort of accepting something, so that there's to be able to communicate these elements to all of them is just an impossibility, especially in the condition they're in.
Well, we've already seen that the elders of each tribe are going to Moses, telling him this and, you know, being told this and back and forth. And so Moses, he's given the elders the instruction, but they're not all being carried out, are they? There are some, you know, you can't force people to change and to be right with the Lord. That always has to be a personal decision. You can't make them do it. You can encourage them and you can lead them and you can set the example for them. But when you've done all that and make sure that your communication levels are proper and that you're really getting the message out there and it's not just being neglected. But once you've done that, that's it. You're, you know.
A slave mentality.
Yeah. Where do we see that particular principle really working like no other place? Now, yes, we see it in church as a pastor, but where do you see it? Home. You see it with your kids. You teach them and you set the example and you show them and you love them and you encourage them. And then you're done.
Rebellion.
You can't make them walk a straight path. You can't do it. They have to decide to do that themselves. And, man, until they do, it can sure be heartbreaking.
Yeah, until they're adults, you're responsible.
I think that's why we love the little babies so much.
Yeah.
We don't have any trouble with that yet. They're just basically just like Jesus until later. So it's I've never met anybody that didn't at least have some kind of delight in their life when they got around a little smiling baby.
Amen.
You know, with that innocence and that purity, and just it's just amazing.
Yeah, not knowing that you're until all your children, which are basically the congregation of the church, at least a great part of it, your children are still maturing in the Lord, and until they are fully matured, you're still responsible, but you're not supposed to really dwell on that, because what Scripture says, whatever is good, whether it is right, whatever is beautiful, think on these things.
Yeah.
You know?